Newsmakers is brought to you by the generosity of listeners like you, including Pam Adams and the Illiopian Oracles. I'm Gary Moore on today's program.
You know, if you're charged with threatening law enforcement with a gun, then you can't have bail. you should be in jail.
Legal expert Raymond Pierce talks about that controversial local case in which a man was allowed to go free with a GPS instead of being locked up after he allegedly pointed a gun at Peoria police. But we begin with a conversation about Donald Trump's legal problems. First, Fonnie Willis, the district attorney, allowed to stay on the case in Georgia.
Well, my feelings about the case itself did not wane, Gary. My feelings about the impact of the case have waned. The substance of the case remains the same. It is a solid case. The call alone that Trump made to the Secretary of State for the state of Georgia, and you combine that with the fake electors that people actually came into that state perpetrating as appointed electors, replacing the legitimate electors to cast, to change the vote, switch the vote from Joe Biden to Donald Trump. That's tremendous evidence to lead to a conviction. My feelings about the case of Wayne is now a procedural matter. It is not the substance of the case. It's the procedural matter right now. And that is that the case can be delayed. The case has been delayed. This case would have been in trial now by March. She was ready to go, as she said. Trump could have done everything he could to delay. But this case would be going on right now as we speak, but for the success of Trump's attorneys to dig up this dirt on the prosecutor, Ms. Willis, which has delayed this case significantly. This case has been delayed significantly. Other cases have been delayed, yes, but they're more on legal matters. There's a legal question that in the insurrection case, and that is, does the president have immunity? The case in Florida, the documents case, is sad because obviously it is very clear that the judge there, Judge Cannon, is acted inappropriately to probably satisfy the whims of the man who appointed her to the court. That was Donald Trump when he was president. The case up in New York, which is, I'm not going to say a weak case, it's a smaller case, it is more petty case. The hush money case, that's going forward, obviously, and the case on the fraud against the state of New York for overstating the value of the land has been a success, and we're waiting on that today, or I guess tomorrow, Monday, to see whether or not the former president can post bond. But I was always high on the Georgia case, and it's just been diluted because now the case has been delayed. It's the delay in the case. Yeah. I can see the case actually starting before the election, but not long before the election. I can see the case starting perhaps in September, October, most likely October, weeks before the case could actually be in trial at the time of the election, which would have impact. And bring out the harm that this man Trump was placing on the election, it's just not going to have the impact it once would have had.
Yeah, you talked about some other cases, and let's talk about some of those in Florida with the classified documents case. You mentioned the judge who was a Trump appointee acting inappropriately. Expound on that. What have you seen in that case that concerns you?
Well, I mean, the most recent is where I believe the judge is actually allowing the attorneys to draw up the judicial orders, you know, for the court. Now, that is not uncommon. However, at the level she's doing, it is just inappropriate. You combine that with the excessive delays that she has placed over this. I could see the attorneys for the United States government moving to have the case removed from her. It's about time now to have that case, or at least a petition to have the case removed from her. I just can't see it. This how her actions can escape a petition for removal. So yes, it's that's unfortunate. It's clear just by her rulings, they are very weak. Her rulings have been very weak. She's coming under considerable criticism by the bar associations. But again, that's more delay. That right there is more delay. To have a judge removed, that's time. That takes time. That case is, in my opinion, is very unlikely to go to trial before the November election.
Yeah, I'm not an attorney. You are, but I did see an excerpt of one of her rulings, and I'm paraphrasing, and help me out. But in effect, it basically instructed the jury to find Trump not guilty. And specifically, it said something like a president has the right to, hey, jurors, just keep in mind, a president has the right to take classified documents and deem them personal if he so chooses, et cetera, et cetera. So that when the jury is hearing this case, which is about him taking classified documents, they would have in the back of their mind, wait a minute, he can legally do this because the judge said so.
Well, yeah, and that's what I was talking about. And she didn't draft that. The attorneys for the defendant, Donald Trump, drafted those jury instructions. That's what I meant. It's not uncommon for the courts to allow the attorneys to draft court orders. I've done that. It's almost like draft me a letter of recommendation and I'll sign it for you. So the judge said, well, draft me the order dismissing the case. I'll draft me an order, ruling on this motion, so the court doesn't have to take the time of drafting it, and then the judge will approve it. But drafting jury instructions, that's going a lot far. And so far that you see what you just identified, that is Donald Trump's attorneys drafting jury instructions that pretty much would dismiss the case. Of course, those jury instructions would only come into play if the case actually ever made it to a jury.
Right, right. Let's talk about the Letitia James case. This is the attorney general in New York who successfully pushed through a conviction of Trump falsifying documents with regard to his business. And by Monday, as you stated, he has to come up with bond. And there's a lot of speculation as to whether or not he actually has the money. Now, there's a social media deal that he's working on where he's expected to reap some $3 billion. But I think the timeline for that would have that money, if he were to get it, come in after Monday. So some people are thinking he's going to pull a rabbit out of his hat, and by Monday he'll come up with this $500 million or not. But Letitia James is saying, hey, if he can't come up with it, then we're going to seize his property. Last time I talked to you, you said, right on, Letitia James, go ahead, seize that property. What do you think are the chances of him coming up with this bond? And how does that bond thing work?
Well, let me work backwards on that one. First, the sale of Truth Social, the media platform that former president created, and the $3 billion. It won't net him $3 billion. It will net the company $3 billion. I would imagine that he would not see most of that money. Truth Social is actually the company that bought is moving to purchase Truth Social for $3 billion. I read recently as last night that the stock of that company has now plummeted 14 points. Let's see whether or not that deal goes through. That deal's not going to go through, as you said, anytime by Monday. I doubt that deal goes through anytime in the next month or so. And if it does go through, it is beginning to look like it might not be $3 billion because of the loss of funds of the company that's seeking to buy it. So let's put that off to the side now, too. But State Attorney General Letitia James has done an outstanding job in prosecuting this case. It would have been great if Fannie Willis had modeled her behavior as a prosecutor in the way the Attorney General of New York has. She's did an outstanding job prosecuting that case, and not just prosecuting the case, but prosecuting the verdict of the case. So yes, if the court has ruled that you owe $500 million or more, yes, you don't have to pay all of that now, but you have to put up a bond that represents a fraction of it, so to hold some money, so that you just don't skip time. Otherwise, you get thrown. You know, you're in contempt of court, which would bring another charge against him. And so he wants to be free, of course, and he's not going to violate the court order. So he's got to come up with some money. Interestingly, Letitia James has already taken steps to move to place liens on those properties. She's already taken steps. She's already, placed the sheriff and the various counties in New York in place to begin to put those properties, in receivership, but to place the appropriate liens in those properties and then proceed with foreclosure to pay off the debt that he owes. So to answer your last question, I don't know whether or not he'll come up with the money by Monday. There was some talk that he could perhaps get the money from a foreign government. I had this conversation with someone yesterday also. If Iran, for example, were to try to launder some money through a third and fourth and fifth party to pay that bond, I just believe that Letitia James is smart enough and savvy enough to say, to question it. She's not going to allow tainted money to come into the coffers of the state of New York. And so if I were a foreign government representative who was trying to buy favor with Donald Trump, by posting the bond for his properties, I would be very wary of sending that money to the state of New York, because I can lose. I might not ever get that money back, and quite frankly, it might not even satisfy the bond. Letitia James might say, no, this doesn't satisfy the bond because this money is not clean. We can't take it. We're going to run this by the CIA, the United States Department of State, to see whether or not we can accept this money. Meanwhile, you still owe money that we can accept. So I think she's got a bit of a bind for this month, for this upcoming Monday.
Yeah, we want to remind our listeners, this is Newsmakers on WPNV. We're talking with legal contributor Raymond Pierce and all things Trump. I do want to talk about a local case, but still with this Letitia James prosecution of Trump in this fraud case. When we look at Trump possibly getting the money from a foreign government, you mentioned Iran. Most likely, the political analysts are saying it'd probably be a place like Saudi Arabia. Whoever it is, whatever country it is, now you're looking at the prospect. Let's say he gets elected, and now you have a president who is in debt to a foreign government. That's just crazy.
And at that point, if it's a country like Saudi Arabia, it might not be a problem for the United States Department of State. It might not be a problem for the FBI, the CIA. Currently, the United States does not have any sanctions imposed upon Saudi Arabia. However, that becomes a major issue for the election. I mean, you know, how could you possibly vote for someone who has that level of debt owed to another country from whom there are geopolitical concerns? It may not be the level of sanctions, but definitely you cannot have your foreign policy, the appearance of a semblance or the possibility of your foreign policy being impacted because the commander-in-chief, the chief executive of the United States, owes a debt, a personal debt to that country.
It's a conflict of interest.
It's a huge conflict of interest. Is that something that could stop the person from being elected? Probably not. I don't know. That is questionable. As all things Trump, which is why it's so sad the country finds itself in this position. No other person who's ever run for president or been president would ever allow, has had such a maliciousness about him or himself, or such a level of dishonor that would allow this to happen. Remember what Al Gore did, you know, when the election dispute with George W. Bush and the pregnant Chaz and all that kind of stuff. Remember, what did Al Gore say? He said, for the good of the nation, I'm not going to challenge this, you know, for the good of the nation. But Donald Trump won't do that. He's already saying the election is going to be rigged because he sees he's in trouble. He sees his money is crunched by the latest FEC regulation. I mean, numbers came out, elections number came out, and Joe Biden has double the amount of money on cash right now for the election than Donald Trump has, and Donald Trump is beginning to stagnate, and Joe Biden's campaign is beginning to kick into gear. So Donald Trump sees that better than anyone, and so now he's already saying the election is rigged. Like he did last time, casting doubt and weakening on our election systems and weakening American democracy. The man is beneath any standard of patriotism and responsibility, you know, for American democracy. It's appalling, quite frankly.
But Raymond, the last time I talked to you, you told me and our listeners, when it comes to Trump supporters, that you might as well just give up trying to reason with these people. You asked this rhetorical question about how could someone run for president with all these clouds over their head. And the sad truth is you have the base, as it has been called, Trump supporters, who, as Ray LaHood, the former congressman, said, would walk over hot coals for him. You know, so yeah, I'm going to the polls, I'm going to vote. I look at Trump and I'm thinking, wow, Stormy Daniels, you know, paying a porn star, wow, falsified his documents with regard to his business, owes $500 million. Wow, you know, hid classified documents. Wow, participated in January 6th insurrection. Wow, you know, tried to change the votes in Georgia. All these things that would kill a candidacy. You have people who look at that totally different. Yeah, he was set up. Oh, they're just going after him. Oh, that's just made up. Oh, that didn't really happen. Oh, that's the deep state. But what about Hunter Biden? You know, I mean, so this is a weird space that we're in.
Yes, it is a very weird space. And my hope and my encouragement lies in that 5 to 10% of the electorate that is undecided. Donald Trump is capped. His base is diehard. You're absolutely correct. They're not going to move regardless of what he does. As he said, he can walk out in the middle of Fifth Avenue, New York City, and shoot someone, and his supporters are still going to support him. There is a percentage of the nation that I believe is more than enough, that is enough, rather, that has not decided. They're not paying attention to any of this. They don't watch the news or on a regular basis. They don't listen to informed stations like your station, Gary. They're not listening to that, but they start paying attention in September and October. And once they start paying attention, particularly if one of these cases in trial, and everything that you just outlined is placed before the American people, particularly that section of the American people who have not voted, I think that will be enough to save the nation, quite frankly. And I say that literally, save this nation. In addition, I believe that some establishment Republican voters who voted for Donald Trump the first time in 2016 will either stay home and not vote for him, or actually, as Liz Cheney is imploring them to do, actually vote for Joe Biden. I think Liz Cheney and that movement, and there's another congressman who resigned yesterday. He said, I can't take any more of this, Republican congressman. I believe you're going to get a sliver of those people who actually will vote for Joe Biden. I'm not as concerned about the Cornel West and the Robert Kennedy Jr. as some people. Maybe I'm not paying close enough attention to that. I wish Cornel West would not be doing what he is doing. I don't know. You know, Cornel West is a smart brother, but I don't know what he's, you know, seeking to accomplish, what he thinks this can do, other than hurt Joe Biden. It could hurt Joe Biden. It's not going to hurt Donald Trump. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. could probably hurt Donald Trump and or Joe Biden. We'll see where that goes. But I just think that I'm more and more encouraged now, and I'll tell you why, Garrett, because of the money. That the money that Joe Biden is beginning to pull in, his pool power, for his campaign is quite impressive.
Yeah, and Joe Biden has been on the campaign trail with this joke about this man who came up to him and said, I'm really in debt, President Biden, can you help me? And he said, no, Donald, I can't, making it a reference to the former president. Hey, let's shift gears a little bit. I want to squeeze in a little conversation about Haiti and then a local case. Let me tell you about this local case. The police chief, Eric Echevarria, here in Peoria, highly upset because a local judge, opted not to have a suspect who pointed a gun at police, a man suspected of pointing a gun at police, incarcerated, instead gave him an ankle bracelet, GPS, and ordered him not to leave. Now, what happened was there was a man, he is white, from Alabama, was in Peoria on the South End. Police stopped him. He sped away. And when they saw his car parked, they approached him. And when they approached him, he pointed a gun at officers and then took off. They then later captured him in East Peoria. He resisted. They had to force him to the ground. They found methamphetamine and the gun. And when he appeared in court, the judge, Mark Gillis, opted not to have him locked up, but instead ordered him to wear an ankle bracelet, and you can't leave unless you talk to your pretrial attorney, et cetera, et cetera. The police chief is irate at that. A lot of people in the black community are upset because they think there are two standards of justice. One, some people are saying, if he was a black dude, he probably would have got shot. I think the police chief would probably split hairs and differ on that. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's an atrocious display of judicial discretion. I mean, the courts, the judges have discretion in those matters. But the judgment showed here by the judge, what you just presented is poor, to say the least. It's atrocious. It's harmful. It's dangerous, to allow anyone to to threaten law enforcement like that. And you cannot allow that type of behavior to be dismissed by an ankle bracelet. That person should be incarcerated. That person, if you would pull a gun on law enforcement, you pose a threat to society. If you pull a gun on a police officer, you pose a threat to society, so you should be incarcerated until your trial to prove whether or not you pulled that gun. But if the police, you know, you're charged with threatening law enforcement with a gun, then you can't have bail. you should be in jail.
The judge ruled that while the action in question did qualify for pretrial detention, the suspect, the 45-year-old guy, Brian Childers of Alabama, his lack of a criminal record made him less of a risk to the community. That's coming from the judge.
Okay, I hear that. Again, I'm not the trier of facts on this. I don't have them in front of me. But from what you have told me, again, that's atrocious. You cannot pull a gun on law enforcement. As you pointed out, he could have been killed. And, and perhaps if he had been of a darker hue, he would have been shot. And if he had been shot and killed by law enforcement for pulling a gun on law enforcement, I doubt very seriously if the police officer who shot him would have been convicted for a crime. If even held for that, they might have, had to do death duty for a little while. But that is the clearest example of self-defense. You cannot pull a gun on law enforcement. Again, he could have been shot. He could have been killed, and it would have been justifiable. But they didn't pull a gun up. They didn't shoot him. They didn't kill him. He got away with it. He kept his life, but he should be incarcerated. So I just think that's a poor display of judicial discretion. Again, courts have discretion in those matters, but that's beyond the pale, in my opinion, Gary.
Yeah. Last conversation, and I'll probably have more of this conversation with some other folks in the weeks ahead, with regard to Haiti. As you know, I've been to Haiti. Had a theater production regarding the untold story of Toussaint Louverture. You and I have talked about Haiti in the past. Just a sad situation. The humanitarian crisis that is taking place there is kind of flying under the radar because so much of our attention has been focused on Ukraine and Gaza. And unfortunately, you have a situation that has been the case in Haiti, I'm not going to say since its independence in 1804, but something that I don't want our listeners to fall asleep on is how Haiti lost because it won, right?
Yeah.
The Africans who were enslaved on that island by the French had the audacity, the nerve to beat the French and declare their independence. Unfortunately for them, the year was 1804, and the world was surrounded by slavery. You had European colonial powers in this hemisphere. The United States was a slave-owning country. South America, the Portuguese had... and so Haiti never really had a chance.
No.
And the United States Marines invaded Haiti. As you know, the CIA put in Papa Doc and Baby Doc, these dictators. And when Haiti elected its first democratically elected president, Aristide, the Bush administration pushed him out. And so Haiti, as you know, has plutonium, has lumber, other natural resources. The Haitian pigs and the rice. I mean, these are stories to where this country has been crippled by, I hate to say it, U.S. foreign policy. What it requires, Raymond, and I'll just have you comment on this, is for Americans, particularly Black Americans, to be more aware of what's going on. These are our brothers and sisters, just what, 90 miles from Florida. And we need to be paying attention to what's happening with them.
It is a exceptionally sad situation. I like the way you put it. Haiti won, but it lost. The accounts that you displayed are, I believe, are all correct, Gary. However, this may upset some of your listeners and maybe you, but I believe there's a large portion of Haiti where you could say that it is its own worst enemy. And what do I mean by that? That is the behavior of almost now a critical mass of the people themselves that tolerate disorder and lawlessness to the point where the gangs are at that level. My church supports a church in Haiti. One of my former associate pastors, Jean-Claude, his father's church is still there in Haiti. We supported that church when the hurricane came through. I have friends who went to college with me from Haiti. You know people from, you've been to Haiti. It is a beautiful island. There's some beautiful people there. However, you've got some folks there, too, who want disorder. Okay, you may disagree with me, Gary, but there's some people there who want disorder because they can thrive in that. Now, where am I going with this? And that's everywhere. You got that here in the United States. You got, you know, white folks in conservative places who want disorder because they can thrive there, and they've even made it into Congress. But in Haiti, it has reached a critical mass where now they actually can rule things. Now, none of this discounts or the suffering that the particularly young people and children are facing in that island nation. Here's what I'm getting ready to say. I'm getting ready to say something that's very dramatic when I look at Haiti now, Gary. I look at that and I think that a coalition of French and U.S. troops should be landed on that island, install a martial law. An international martial law joint task force between maybe the United States and France. If France abandoned that island, I don't believe that the resources on that island now in 2024 are of significant international relevance anymore. Gary, you may disagree with me. You probably will. I just don't think that the sum of the resources on that island, plutonium included, given where technology is now, are of major significant geopolitical relevance anymore, which actually hurts Haiti because it is almost like nobody will give a damn about the island anymore because it's not worth anything. But it's purely a human issue now, a humanity issue now. I think that it needs order. And it's not going to come from the island anymore. The police force is not going to happen. It's not going to do it. You see every day almost, you know, good people leaving that island. The American press is dwindling as it would be. It's so sad. But I think it's a decent, sizable force. And why France? Because of the history. You may be angry at France for history going back to 1804, as well you should be. But I believe the French should take some responsibility for that. I think the United States should take some responsibility for this. Put a joint force on that island, install martial law, allow for Haitians of good report to return to their island or emerge on their island, form a good, strong government, and maintain the forces there for a good 10 years, perhaps, until the good people can begin to make the critical mass.
Okay.
That's the only solution that I can see, Gary.
Okay. And been there, done that, didn't work, got the T-shirt. I strongly disagree with that. But our time is up. So we'll have to continue this conversation at a later date. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Brother Raymond Pierce, our legal contributor. Thank you so much for being on Newsmakers.
Always, Gary. Take care, brother.
All right. Newsmakers is brought to you by the generosity of listeners like you, including Pam Adams and the Illiopian Oracles. We encourage you, if you like the programming on WPNV, to support us by going to the MBDC website. Newsmakers on WPNV. WPNV, we're Peoria's neighborhood voice.